our marriages, and with all the what-ifs in life. But our eyes should be always on that future prize that awaits all God's people, that future prize of eternal living with Him forever. You know, as I hear that song sang, I always think about, of course, the ones I love it's passed on. People in the church through the years has passed on. My own family it's passed on. My uncles and my aunts and my grandpas and my grandma and people that I love that's gone, that I no longer have. But I know it's a very temporary separation. And I know we'll look across that river one day and there they'll be. They'll be just waving at us. Welcome to Willoughby. Welcome to Willoughby. It's an old Twilight Zone episode. Welcome to Willoughby, Miss Brenda. Welcome to Willoughby. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Your faith has now been realized. Your faith's been finished. It stops and completed here. So, anyway. Shirley, I don't know if... I think y'all come after I announce this. We don't have children's church tonight. Randy is not here. He had a death in the family. He found his wife's father dead in the house today. So, anyway. Just... Do what? Oh, okay. Okay. If you trust Ashley and Taylor, they'll be glad to watch them in the nursery if you want them to go back there. So that's up to you. Whatever you want to do. I doubt Kingston will be still for, you know, 40 minutes. So so if you want to take them back here, Ashley's very good, and she'll go back. Thank you, Ashley and Taylor. I appreciate that. Y'all keep order back there now and make sure they're safe. Don't let them put anything in their mouth. Tay'll be running the show back here. That's what's going to happen. All right. Before we get started, well, we're going to be in 2 Peter. Before that, I want to talk about what my title means, "This Shall Come to Pass." 2 Peter is talking about the return of the Lord. How everybody's saying it's always been like it's always been. Nothing's changed. God ain't coming back because nothing's changed. The world keeps revolving. The world keeps ticking. But before I get into 2 Peter, I've got some Old Testament prophecies I thought I would tie in to remind us that there's been many things in the past God has spoken that's come to pass. So why wouldn't this? The first thing I want to talk about is, you remember the great flood of Noah's day and how God said that he was going to destroy the earth. He's going to destroy it with water. He told Noah, tell the people, get them prepared, build an ark. Now remember, building a big boat in the middle of a field or a pasture or a desert, wherever it was, building this big boat looked pretty ridiculous. It took a lot of faith. Because God said, I'm going to destroy the earth. Now, the Bible, if you read that in the book of Genesis, there was about 120 years from the time God spoke that until the flood actually came. 120 years. Most people don't live that long. So most of us wouldn't even see that prophecy fulfilled. 120 years. But guess what happened? One day something happened. And it did that for 40 days and 40 nights. All of a sudden, what God said came to pass. The water began to fall from the sky, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained until the mountains were covered with water. And Noah and his family were saved and spared from the destruction of the earth because they listened to God. But the point I want to make in that story is that God said he was going to do it, and he did. God said it, and it happened. So let's read some scriptures of the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled. We're going to start in Isaiah 7:14. Now this was 750 years before it was fulfilled. So think about this. This would be like a prophecy happening today in the year 1200. Somebody in 1200 would speak something and finally in 2015, sorry, it comes to pass. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, can you get any more specific than that? That's pretty specific, isn't it?
This is so aggravating. I'm so sorry. I thought I had this stick.
Now, number one, who would prophesy that a virgin would have a baby? That's not possible. Not in human form. Because we know what that means. You have to know a man to have a baby. A virgin shall be born and shall call his name Emmanuel. 700 and some years, Isaiah said this would happen. And can you imagine, as he spoke this, people that live in the earth, the Brendas of the earth, I don't see no virgin having no baby. George, you see a virgin having a baby? It's been 40 years Isaiah said that. There ain't no baby. Then the next generation comes along, and they read those scrolls as they let them out. For the word of God says that Israel shall have a Savior, a man called Emmanuel, born of a virgin. Can you imagine those generations? Well, where's he at? That was 300 years ago now. Still ain't happened. 400 years, still ain't happened. 500 years. But something happened. 700 and some years later, something happened. An angel appeared to a little handmaiden named Mary and says, you are barren with child. You are going to bear a child. And Mary says, but I've not known a man. The Holy Spirit has conceived in your womb the fruit of Israel that's going to save them as a nation and as a people. And so sure enough, that prophecy came to pass. It took 700 years, but it happened. Church, it happened just like God said it would. Look at the next prophecy. This is Jeremiah 30, verse 1. This is talking about Israel. We preached on Israel last Wednesday night. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, speak to the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words I have spoken to thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judea, and the saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to their land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. When that happened? 1948. Did you know Israel was never an independent nation from 700 BC until 1948? It was never an independent nation from 700 BC when it was destroyed. It laid in ruins and never was an independent nation again for almost 2,000 years. But God's word has no time limit. God's word is not like a clock on Taco Bell. If your order's not ready in 2 minutes, your burrito's free. I mean, God may move in a minute, and God may move in a millennium. Whatever he says is going to move, and it will come to pass. And whether I live to see the return of God, I don't know. But if I'm on my deathbed with oxygen mask breathing, and somebody says, you still believe the Lord is going to come? Absolutely, I believe he's going to come. He's coming for me real soon, but he'll be coming for you too. You just wait. He's coming. I won't ever change because God said he would. He said that he would. So Israel lay in ruins almost 2,000 years, and finally, in 1948, they were established again as an independent nation of people. And they've not been destroyed since they've been a nation, nor will they be because of the hand of God and the word of God upon their nation and upon their lives. Look at another prophecy that God said. And I'm building all this up to get to the return of God. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, thou be a little among the thousands in Judea, yet out of you, out of Bethlehem, shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Out of Bethlehem, the one that's going to last forever is coming out of Bethlehem. Think about that. Bethlehem was nothing. That would be like saying around here, Union Grove. No offense, y'all. I love Union Grove. Out of Union Grove, North Carolina, will be the one that was from old and from everlasting to everlasting. The Messiah is coming out of Union Grove, cowboy boots and skull dip. I mean, think about that. Union Grove. Bethlehem was little among them. Little. Exact prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus out of Bethlehem, from everlasting to everlasting. Then look at the other one. Zechariah, look at all these great books reading out of the old. You think the Old Testament don't mean anything anymore. They're beautiful. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Rejoice, he's saying, and shout, daughter of Jerusalem, for your king cometh unto you. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey and upon the colt of a donkey. Remember when that happened? We're getting ready to celebrate it in a few weeks. We call it Palm Sunday. A week before his crucifixion, what happens? Jesus comes riding in on a donkey as king. Just like Zechariah said he would. Once again, this is about 650 to 700 years before it happened. It took a long time to happen. I mean, man, we hear things and we're like, you know, we want it now. I'm the worst at it. I am the worst, man. I'll tell you, I want things now. I want them yesterday at 3 o'clock. That's how I am. Here's these prophets saying, your ruler's coming. But guess what? That generation he prophesied to didn't live to see it. Neither the next generation or the next. It took how many generations to see this finally fulfilled. But can you imagine the generation that was alive? Can you imagine this? Say mom is living the day that she sees Jesus coming down the street. Here comes Jesus on a donkey as king. She's throwing palm leaves before him and worshiping him, shouting, as it says, Jerusalem shouting for joy. They didn't understand the whole picture at that point. They thought he was coming to claim the kingdom and be king then. They didn't know he had to first die to become king. So they're celebrating. They're shouting for joy. Here's mom shouting for joy. She's got her, you know, her Jewish robe on, her head covered, and she's laying down palm trees, and she's shouting, oh, king, here he is. He's come for us. Then all of a sudden, as mom is saying that, dad beside her reminds her, this is the prophecy of Zechariah. We've read this our whole lives. We've read it for the last 40 years of our marriage as the scrolls have been unveiled. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament yet. All they had was the old canon. So here's dad saying, remember what the synagogue said. The synagogue just read this last Sunday. It's here. It's been fulfilled. God did do it just like he said he would do it. It's come to pass. We are living in the day of seeing that fulfillment come to pass. Here's our king on a donkey. God's word didn't lie. It happened like he said it. That's good news. And I want to build all those examples. There's many, many more examples. That's just a few I want to pick out that were very specific prophecies that were fulfilled hundreds of years later. So all of a sudden, now we come to the next prophecy, the most important one for us today, I think, that we're looking for. Because our king's done came on a donkey. Our king has died on the cross. Our king has rose from the dead. Our king is filled with the Holy Spirit. So the only thing left for us is our king coming for the church. That's what we're waiting on. And we've been waiting for 2,000 years. It's not like a very long time, 2,000 years. But God has no timetable. God's time is not like our time. Remember, God deals in eternity. When something's eternal, something's forever, 2,000 years is like one wave in the ocean. I mean, it's nothing. It's a bleep on the screen. It's not even noticeable when we're talking about eternity. So let's get to what 2 Peter says now. Chapter 3. 2 Peter 3. And we're talking about it shall come to pass, just like the Jesus on the donkey, just like Jesus being born of a virgin, just like Israel being restored, just like the flood coming in Noah's day. All that was fulfilled as God's word said it. So we should not doubt what God's word says in chapter 3 about his return. Verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write to you. Christian, go close that door back here. I'm sorry. Block a little bit of that noise out. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Sometimes we have to be reminded of what God's word tells us. Our minds got to be stirred back up because we've forgotten. We've forgotten what God's word said to us. We've forgotten what our future is. We've forgotten where we came from. We've forgotten what God's done for us. Many times, all we see is the battle and the storms and the bad stuff and forgotten. Well, God, man, you saved me here. You helped me here. You healed me there. You brought me through here. You paid my bills there. God, you showed up right there, right in time, right when I needed you. So, God, I want to remember those times, remember those things. And what happens, the world, especially the world we live in now, with so much false doctrine, false teaching, and so much anti-God and anti-Jesus and, you know, anti-religion, we got to be careful that we guard our minds and not let them be compromised. And the truth be compromised. But hang on like a bulldog to a T-bone steak. I'm not letting go of what God showed me. I know that I know. We got to be very careful. And I believe in having an open mind. I believe in an open mind. But I believe there are truths and jewels of God's word we have to protect. And there's some subjects we just say, no open mind. I'm very closed to that because I already know the truth. So why am I going to open my mind to something I know the truth about? And the world tries to push that anyway, to have an open mind, see it from my point of view, see it from my kind of way. God's point of view is the only point of view that really counts because it's the only point of view that's truth. I don't care what man says. I don't care what teachers say, doctors, scientists, political leaders, world leaders, singers, actors, actresses. You know, we follow all these figures and sports figures, and we all that we look up to and admire. And, you know, I don't care who comes out and says what. There are people that if they go say something against the word of God, I got to say, that's wrong. It's not what God's word says. I respect you and I admire you've done great things, but it's not what God's word says, and I'm shutting that down so I'm not deceived. Don't think we can't be deceived because we're saved. Don't think we can't be deceived because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't think we can't be deceived sometimes and get on the wrong road by listening to the voice of the enemy. We can. There's been many good people that's gotten on the wrong road because they listened to the enemy. They saw the red shiny apple and says, follow this, and they did because it looked right. But when you know truth inside, guard against that. And the way to really retain truth is to remind yourself of the truth. To remind yourself, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus died for me. Yes, He's the only way to salvation. Yes, faith in Christ alone by His grace saves me. Yes, I'm redeemed. Yes, I'm reconciled. Yes, I'm sanctified. Yes, I'm all those things. Remind yourself of who you are in Christ. So we've got to start our minds up sometimes and remind ourselves of that. That you may be mindful to the words which were spoken before. Now, Peter's reminding us here today in this generation. Remember what the prophets, the holy prophets spoke, and what the apostles of the Lord and Savior spoke. Remember what they said. Go back to what Joshua said and Moses said and Abraham said. Remember those words. They're words of truth. Kind of like your mom and dad. Remember words your mom and dad spoke to you. And then when you get a little older, you figure out they were about 99.2% right. They're about, 22.2% right when you're 16. But by the time you get 25 or 30, yeah, they were about 99.2% right. They had a few things after that, but, they were pretty right on. Remember the things your parents taught you. Remember the things you learned as a child. Remember Sunday school and the lessons that you learned. I'm real proud of Katie. She's with us tonight, and I remember Katie from many years ago, and she made a statement to me earlier that made me feel good, touched my heart. She goes, this is the only church I want to come to. She said, I was raised in this church. I was raised in this church. See, Katie's not forgotten what the Word of God said to her. She's not forgotten the teaching and preaching that was here. She's not forgotten how God spoke to her through the years. She's not forgotten her roots and her foundation. She's remembered what she used to have and hasn't strayed away from that. That's awesome. If we can remember, do y'all remember your Sunday school teachers when you were little girls and boys? Do y'all remember your Sunday school teachers? Remember things sometimes they said to you? Remember words you learned? Remember, I remember mine. I remember my Sunday school teachers. I remember my preachers. I remember what I learned, what I heard. I remember certain services and how the Lord moved. And I remember testimonies I've heard. I remember those things. I remember hearing about how God healed a person of cancer, how God healed deaf ears, how God, I remember hearing and remember seeing those things happen. It's important we retain and remember what God has showed us, what the Word of God speaks, and that we don't forsake it. David reminded himself of that all the time. He always reminded himself about that there would be one to come that would forgive the iniquities of the people, one to come that the trespass be forgiven, sins be removed far as the east is from the west. He constantly knew. He said, you will not leave my soul in hell. He spoke that in Psalms. You will not leave this corruptible soul. You won't leave it in hell. But God, there's a future for me and my ancestors and my seed. David constantly reminded himself of the promises and hope that God had prepared for him. So it's important we remind ourselves of that. Verse 3, knowing first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now I want to explain this because, I just want to clarify this. A lot of people haven't been taught this way. The last days started in the days Jesus was resurrected. The last day started then. We've always heard testimony about we're in the last day. We're in the last day of 2,000 years. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. That's when it started because that's when all the prophecies begin to come back. When Jesus said, I'll return. As you see me leave, I'll come back. All the prophecies says, wait on me and all this. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. It's been a long last day, hadn't it? Been a long Friday. 2,000 years. And we're still in that day. But once again, remember, God's eternal. 2,000 years is nothing compared to eternity. I mean, it's a speck in the dust in eternity. And it says that scoffers, you know what scoffers are? The ones that doubt, the ones that kid, the ones that naysay, the ones that say, no, it's not going to happen. They scoff in the last days, being drawn to their own desires and their own lust. Just like in the days of Noah. Can you imagine them passing by Noah, laughing at that old man? He's pretty old. He started building the ark. He wasn't no young chick. He was way past middle age. He's building this ark. And can you imagine? He's loony. He's crazy. No, what you waiting on? What's rain? Rain out of the sky? Are you kidding me? Are you from Mars? I mean, what does that mean? Rain from the sky is going to flood the earth. And they mocked him and they laughed. I'm sure they made fun of him. They kept their kids away. Don't go near him. He's creepy. You know? I mean, they scoffed because they didn't want to believe. You know why they didn't want to believe? They were too busy living their lives. This is why Jesus said in the Gospels, he said that in the last days when Christ returns, it'll be as it was in the days of Noah. They were drinking and marrying and giving away to marriage. And that's been also mistaught a lot. He's not talking about that we quit living life, but he's talking about that life was going on as if there was no interruption going to happen. Life, people just kept on living their lives as if the news never was going to come to pass, but it did. And as they kept on marrying through Noah's day and doing their thing and going to work and just ignoring the alarm, ignoring the call, ignoring Noah's words, all of a sudden one day it happened. And the end for them came. Because all they could do was scoff and not listen. And we have a generation today that doesn't want to listen because we're drawn away to our own lust, because it's easier to live our lives in the flesh than to follow God in the Spirit. And it always is. But as people are scoffing and unbelieving and laughing and rejecting, there will be a day, just as in Noah's day, when the rain began to fall, that the trumpet is going to sound. And those that are in Christ shall be transfigured into his likeness. And those that are not in Christ will not. It is faith in the Lord God that causes us to have eternal life. And many are just saying, nah, don't believe in that. I believe it's all this. There's many gods, but they're all really the same God. We worship in different ways and this and that and that. And there is no God and there's this. And we're seeing more and more anti-God than ever before, especially in our new generation growing up, because they've been so infiltrated with such liberated doctrine of man and of science that they don't leave any room for God anymore. Our universities are so liberal. Now, you go to a Christian university, you're very blessed there, but most universities that are not Christian are very liberal institutions, very liberal. Where a Christian goes is a very liberal college, very liberal. And for a young child that doesn't have a spiritual foundation, they are just sucked right into that. My professor says this. My professor says I was a chimpanzee, that my Uncle George was a chimpanzee back in the day. And I'm just nothing but a big, achieved, evolved chimpanzee. I mean, there are really smart men and women with many, many degrees that believe that. Now, I don't have any degrees, but I know this. I ain't no chimpanzee. Nor was my Uncle Joe or my Grandpa Lewis. Or my great-great-granddaddy from the flood. You know, I didn't have ancestors that started walking like this, and then 5,000 years later, like this, and then 10,000 years later, like this, until they just, what happened to me? The Bible is clear that we are a creation. It says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. It doesn't say we evolved from something else. We were created by ourselves, by God. An individual making. An individual piece of art. But we have real smart men and women with PhDs who can know all the mathematical equations and science stuff. I mean, they're just they're so smart, and they use big words, and you'd be sitting there lost in a 10-minute conversation with them, not knowing one word they said. But you can stop it with just, you know, two words. You stupid. What nose up in here? What do you mean? I've been pretty... Really? Look at the Word of God, what it says. But here it goes back to this. Many don't believe in the Word of God. So if you don't believe in the Word of God, you don't believe in the creation of man the way we believe in. You don't believe in the creation of the world like we believe in. And so remember what you've learned and be not deceived. There are many in this generation today that still don't believe God created this earth and all that we see. People still believe it was a phenomenon of science. What I want to know is, where did the power of science come from? I mean, there had to be power somewhere to create this. So if it's not God, I mean, science has no power in itself. There's no power in science apart from the power of God. So something, you plant a watermelon seed in the ground. It produces a big old nice green striped watermelon. All that's in that seed is there to produce that fruit. But that seed has to have life of its own to produce that. God is the life that produced everything that we see. There has to be power somewhere, not God where. So I just choose to believe God. Verse 4. They say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continueth as they were from beginning of creation. He's saying, what, you know, Father Abraham's dead. We're still here. King David's dead. We're still here. Zechariah's dead. We're still here. Peter, Paul, and John's dead. We're still here. Where is this great coming of the Lord we read about? Because things just continue to seem that they're going. But, you know, I can tell you this as a Christian. Don't you in your spirit know things are changing? I mean, you just know that. You can feel inside things are changing. You know we're moving forward into a different place than we ever had before. It's not like it was before. I grew up in the 70s and 80s as a child, a young man. 70s and 80s in my generation. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a lot different today than it was in my generation. Things have evolved quite drastically. And we are moving forward in a whole different direction. And things that we're talking about in our nation now were not even a blip in the idea of man 30 or 40 years ago. Not at least verbally. It wasn't even there. We know things are changing. We see how families are changing. We see how tolerance is changing. We see how ungodliness is changing and irreverence is changing. And how church used to be such a pillar of our society. And now it's just become just almost a joke to some people. The local church, I mean. It used to be a pillar of our society. I mean, church used to be an institution that stood for something and meant something to people in America. And for many now, it's just another obligation. Or if I got time, I'll go. I've had folks tell me before, this is, don't, if you're going to, if I say good to see you, don't use this line, please. People tell me this before. Well, I say, man, it's great to have you. I'm glad you came today. Well, I had nothing else to do. Thanks. Thanks to me and thanks to God. You had nothing else to do, so you came to church. See, our priority should be the house of God. It should be something that, oh my gosh, I don't care if I ain't got time. I'm making time to be in God's house when I'm supposed to. That's important. But we have a lot of people that just have discounted that, and it's very sad. There are many more churches a year closing than opening. Thank God we are being blessed, and God is blessing our church, but there are many closing every year in this nation. Verse 5, for they willingly are ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. He's using the example of Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word that destroyed the earth in Noah's day, is the same word that kept in store and reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God's word holds the earth together. God's word can destroy the world. God's word holds off judgment, and God's word can bring judgment. It's the same word. It's the same God. Same truth. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Peter is saying we can't measure time based on our human calendar. A year for us is a blip to God. It's just not the same equation. It's not the same thing. It's comparing apples to oranges, so to speak. So he's saying, look, just as God says he's going to return, he is. Because you haven't seen on me, it's not going to happen. Who cares? It's been, you know, 2,000 years at this point. Or not that point. Right then, it was right after, you know, a few years, 60 years, we're reading here. I mean, think about those folks. You know, they were already complaining 50 or 60 years after Jesus, they didn't come back yet. Imagine them now. Good Lord, y'all still here? 2,000 years. Good gosh. We were whining 50 years after, hadn't hurt. And here you are. You're still waiting on them. Yeah, we're waiting. We're waiting with expectation. We're waiting with certainty. We're waiting with truth of knowing that just as his word spoke all of the prophecies we read, so too this shall come to pass in due season. We don't know the time. I get so frustrated. You've seen this. People try to predict the return of Christ. You know, people come on TV with dates. You know, June 6, 1972, Jesus coming back. Really? Wow. And the really foolish thing, people believe that. And all of a sudden, I started getting saved. I want to be ready. He's coming back June 6th, 3 o'clock, 1972. And the clock ticks, and the day goes by, and there you are, still in your nasty old sinful flesh. He ain't returned. Things are still going. We've heard so many prophecies over the years of exact dates of when he was going to come back. And the Bible is clear when it says that no man knows the time of the Lord. No man. God's got that a big old secret for us, a big old surprise. If we could vision God's face, he'd be telling all of his peeps this. Don't let Brenda know when I'm coming. I'm going to surprise. I had one surprise birthday party growing up as a kid. It was the most meaningful birthday I ever had. Never ever told my parents or not. I think I have, but I'll never forget it. It was a surprise party. They did really good. Didn't know anything about it. Dad took me out for breakfast, and then we messed around, did a few things. Went to the pond and sat down for a little bit, ate a honey bun and all that good stuff. Dad liked honey buns, and still does. And anyway, he took me. I didn't know he was killing time. And I got back to the house. Was that my E.T. cake party or? Might have been my E.T. party. E.T., you know, the movie E.T.? Yeah, you know it. Yeah. Phone home. But anyway, we got back to the house, and I walk in my door, and the lights are out. I didn't expect nothing. And all of a sudden, there was, I don't know, 5 or 6 of my friends there. And they all popped out behind the bar, and all, surprise! It was awesome. I was like, oh, my God. I did not see it, didn't expect it. Dad didn't say no. I had no idea. Just thought I was out with Dad doing some stuff. And all along, he was keeping me out of the house. Mom, get everybody over there, get everything ready, and get everybody staged and get them in place. You know what? That was much better than Dad. Now, you know, Dad would have just killed it, wouldn't he? If he'd been sitting by the pond eating a honey bun. What are we really doing, Dad? Well, there's a surprise birthday party waiting on you. Mom, I'm going to get you out of the house. Act surprised. You get there, okay? Act like you don't know what's going on. I didn't tell you nothing. And if you tell my mom I told you, it's off the record. I'll deny it till I die. I didn't tell you nothing, okay? Boy, that would have been kind of fake, wouldn't it? I'd have walked in. Oh, I'm so surprised. I would have had to have faked it. It would have ruined it. So you know what? There's some things I think God keeps in reserve because of the moment of impact. Just the moment of impact. That one day we'll hear those words, surprise. As Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. I mean, I just think about that moment of God holding. And see, God already knows. See, God knows each of our departure dates, whether it's through the grave or whether it's through being changed on the earth. God knows our date. God knows our time and appointment. And he knows when it's for us. And he's holding all of that. Thank God we don't know those things. He's holding it in reserve for our moment when he says, surprise, come home. And none of us know that time or day. It could, and for many, it's sudden. For some, it's expected. But for some, it's tragic. For some, it's just here today and gone tomorrow. And I don't know how each of ours will be, but I know this, that our face in Christ, that we will see the face of God and be part of that eternal beauty land the moment our breath leaves our body. There's no doubt that Jay Lewis, as his breath gave way in that house by himself, whatever happened, that he was not alone in that home, but there were angels camped about around him, and the presence of God was in that house with him to usher him into that place he believed in. That is our hope as Christians. That's our future. Doesn't matter how much money we accumulate, how many houses we have, and we got to focus on what's important and remind the world Jesus is coming. He is returning again for the bride, which is us. The bride, the church, the spotless church. Not spotless because of our good doings, but spotless because of his blood applied to the church. See, Jesus died for the church. He died for us. He died that we could become that bride of the church. So the church is robed in white, just waiting on that ceremony, waiting on that joining together to him, the groom, in that eternal Beulah land. Those that have crossed over are already there. Church, I know there's different teachings on this, and I mean, it could be taught either way, scripturally, I guess. But I'm a firm believer. I don't believe we just we lay unconscious and then have a resurrection day. I believe that our resurrection happens the moment our breath leaves, that we become a resurrected state. That each one has their resurrection day the moment they leave the earth. Some believe in what they call soul sleep. I don't believe in soul sleep because our conscience is alive and well. I mean, I think sleeping at night teaches you this. When you dream, you're sound asleep. You're out of the world, but you're still very alive in your sleep world. If you dream, I mean, when you have dreams, you're so alive in that place. It's so real. You see things. You can even feel things. I got shot one time in a dream. That was terrible. I got shot. Boom! I remember jerking, and I remember being so scared. You know how you get that paralyzed state when you wake up in fear? And I remember slowly, I didn't open my eyes, slowly rubbing my hand to make sure I didn't feel no blood right there. I've been to rub my stomach. It was that real. I thought I'd been shot. I mean, I feel like JR 1983, you know what I'm saying? I felt like I'd been shot. So dreams are real, but you're there. Your conscience, you're aware. I mean, think about all the dreams you've had, how real it was. Maybe you were in a vacation place, or maybe, you know, I don't know, it was a romantic dream, or it was a scary dream, or whatever it was, but it was so real. I've dreamed many times about preaching. I mean, many times I've dreamed about preaching different things and different venues, and I've dreamed about this church, and it's been really amazing. In fact, part of that one dream I had has actually been fulfilled. I'll share that with you at the church. It's not hit me. One dream I had has been fulfilled at this church, actually. I had this dream several years ago, and it's being fulfilled now. But I don't believe we just lay there, lifeless and unconscious and in a no zone, and then all of a sudden we just... Because here's what the Bible says. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Death, nor life, principality, things present, things to come, angels, no creation, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I don't believe there's any separation of awareness of our God. Here's something else God says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. Well, if he's always with me, how can he not be with me? He's with me always. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, which means you're with me all the way to the finish line, all the way to I cross over, you're with me. So I believe that. That's just what I believe. Some don't teach that way. I believe we're automatically in the presence of God whenever we pass away. The Lord is not slack. Isn't that a neat term for the old English? The Lord is not slack. We use that word today. Concerning his promise. Look what it says. Promise. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what's one reason for the big delay? We might be thinking, God, what's up? I'm ready. Get me out of this miserable world. God is saying, there's another Tony out there I got to reach. Another Shirley that's out there. Another Sam. Another Stacy. Another Brenda. Another Katie. There's another one I'm trying to reach. There's another one I'm trying to speak. There's another one that needs to receive me. There's another one. I'm long-suffering. And I'm patient because I want none to perish, but I want all to come to repentance. See, God's not like us. We're not very patient as human beings, but God's very long-suffering. Melly said many times, I don't know how God can keep things going the way they're going. Look at this world. How can he just accept it? Because in the midst of this nasty, hellish, ungodly, evil, dark world, there are still those souls and those heartbeats and those lives God loves. Don't matter how ugly or bad your own child is acting or is or where he's at, you just can't stop loving that child. God doesn't just stop loving his people because they're acting like fools, because they're rejecting them, they're ungodly, they're doing their own thing and not even listening to them, and just in their own world, he still loves them so much. Understand, we're his creation. Think about how you feel about your own kids. I mean, your own kids you've had, your own biological or maybe stepkids or what, the kids that are yours that you raise. Well, God's got about 7 billion of them. Different colors, different races, different languages, different cultures. And they're all his. He created them. And the gospel is being preached all over the world in every language and every nation. there's Jesus is being preached. And to think about the African tongue or the Indian tongue or the Japanese tongue calling upon Jesus in their language, asking them to forgive their sins, that atonement covers all flesh that'll call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's a gift to all who call upon the name of the Lord. All. And so God's patient. That's why we're still here. God's patient. I know one day there'll be a close to this, just like in Noah's day when the ark door closed. I know one day, just as God said, Noah, close the ark. Time's up. There'll be a day God will close the ark, but it'll be on His time and His schedule. So He's not slack. His promise is going to happen. The day of the Lord will be as a thief in the night. Why is this analogy, thief in the night? Think about this. When a thief comes in the night, most of the time you don't know he's come and gone. That's why. A thief come and go in darkness. If you're in bed at night and you don't hear anybody in your house, you're a sound sleeper or, you know, whatever, you got TV going or whatever, and you know, somebody can be very quietly come in, do a few things, gone within 5 minutes. You come out the next morning, drawers are open, jewelry's missing, trash cans are dumped over or whatever. You're like, what? When did this happen? A thief in the night. It's going to be quick. It's going to be unexpected. Do any of you expect a thief to come in? I mean, you don't wait up tonight. Oh, I bet this is National Thief Night. I'll just wait up. I'm going to be robbed tonight. I just feel it in my bones because I got that arthritic knee. Thief tonight. We don't wait up for thieves. You don't know when a thief's going to strike. They're unpredictable. You don't know. So God's going to come like a thief in the night. And the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and their works that are therein shall be burned up. This old system and old worldly order is going to be dissolved and gone forever. Praise the Lord. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Be ready, Peter is saying. It's going to happen. It shall come to pass. Be prepared. Because you don't know when, but be ready. Know your face in Christ and be looking for it truly any day. Just any day God could translate us just like He did Elijah. Just like He did Enoch. Elijah's walking along. Remember this? I believe this. Now, some folks don't believe all the stories in the Bible. I'm a sucker, okay? I believe them. So call me a sucker. I believe them. Elijah and Elias are walking together. And Elias wants Elijah's mantle. He said, I want to be like you. I want the anointing. I want the gift of spirit. And Elijah kept saying, well, if you see me lead this earth, if you're there to see me depart, you'll have it. So you know what? Elias didn't leave Elijah. Everywhere Elijah went, Elias went. I mean, he wouldn't leave me. Try to get him to stay back. I go talk to these folks. Stay here. I'll come back. No, I'm going with you. I don't want to miss this. And sure enough, the Bible says they're walking along. And a chariot out of nowhere came out of the sky and just scooped up Elijah. Alive and breathing and well. It wasn't a heart attack. It wasn't a stroke. It wasn't a psychotic moment. A chariot of God's presence came and took up Elijah in the presence of Elijah, you know who. And he saw his earthly spiritual father depart. And all the prophets with him says, let's go find him. He went somewhere. Remember, he kept telling the Bible, you ain't going to find him. He's gone. No, let's go find him. They kept begging. Finally said, okay, go search. You're not going to find him because he's not here. He is gone. Sure enough, they came back. We couldn't find him nowhere because he's not here no more. He walking and breathing. You know what that is? It's a type and shadow, too, of what is to come. God did it then. He's going to do it again. Only this time it won't be one person in an isolated moment. It'll be the church as the organ plays. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Boom. The bride's going to be caught away. In a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be caught up to be with the Lord. It shall come to pass. Encourage each other with that. And when times get rough and times get bad, you remind yourself where you're going. God, you got a plan for me. And it's much greater than what I'm facing here on the earth. So I'm looking for that. I'm looking for that glorious day, whenever that is. All right, that's my message. Hope you're encouraged. It's going to come to pass. Get ready. Don't know when it's going to be.